Good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, not just any Thursday, it's Earth Day, April 22nd, and President Joe Biden is convening a coalition of the willing, the unwilling, the desperate for help, and the avid for money for a global summit Thursday aimed at rallying the world's worst polluters to move faster against climate change. The president's first task, convincing the world that the politically fractured United States isn't just willing when it comes to Biden's new ambitious emissions-cutting pledges, but also able. Success for Biden in the virtual summit, says the AP, of 40 leaders will be making his expected promises, having coal and petroleum emissions at home and financing climate efforts abroad. Believable enough to persuade other powers to make big changes of their own. Is the world ready for this?
Well, it better be. The big problem, of course, is unlike more immediate and serious problems, climate change is one of those things which happens very gradually. But it adds up, and we know it because we can see the results now. So Joe Biden, instead of just talking about it, comes in and announces we're all going to have to make some sacrifices and we're going to have to make some changes. I mean, take a look, David, at the way in which we buy our cars. I mean, I drive a Prius. It's sort of the best of this group. Nevertheless, people aren't that concerned about it, but they've got to be, because that's where the pollution comes from. The car industry is going to have to gear up, and I think some of them see it and are doing it, in order to make it feasible that we stop spewing this stuff into the air, into the atmosphere. It's terribly important. Our own Judith Inc. and plastics. I got to tell you, I feel guilty every time I use a piece of plastic now because of her. And there are 1,000 things that we can do in order to put a stop to this. Otherwise, as I said yesterday, we're going to start to look like what Mars looks like now.
From there to the president signaling heightened police scrutiny as the U.S. opens Minneapolis inquiry. Attorney General Merrick Garland yesterday announced the federal inquiry just a day after Derek Chauvin was convicted of the murder and the death of George Floyd. The Justice Department will scrutinize police training and look into whether officers routinely use excessive force or treat minorities unfairly. It's a sign that President Biden, says the New York Times, will seek to address police misconduct across the U.S. and apply stricter federal oversight to local forces. Will there be success, for example, in the Senate?
Well, right now you have a situation in which people of color have been subjected to a far greater number of traffic stops and arrests and mishandling by the police. We all know it. Driving while black is a crime. Walking while black is a crime, according to so many of these officers. So that's got to be corrected. Politically, it makes a lot of sense. Joe Biden won the presidency. He had a lot of help from the African-American community, who had to be convinced he wasn't just the same old guy who was going to say things and then not do them. He's doing them. And we see it in his appointments to the Justice Department. We see it in setting out an agenda for police reform in the country. We see it in his symbolic acts of calling George Floyd's relatives and everybody else. This is not your usual president. And you know, I keep thinking he's identified by many of us as a moderate. But when it comes to this stuff, he's really way out front.
Will the fact that he is doing things and trying to make change be recognized by the majority of voters in the midterms?
David, those midterm elections are very frightening. Here's why. We know that the gerrymander has created districts in some places where a Republican can't lose. It's also true in some of the places where Democrats are doing the gerrymandering. So it isn't as if these are free and fair elections. They're loaded, all right. And it's coming up now. We see in many states that they're changing the rules so that they can't lose. It's disgraceful, and yet they're doing it. So anybody who thinks that these midterm elections should just be ignored is just wrong, because, you know, the idea that a vote should count has been negated so many times. The gerrymander, the rules, you can't give somebody a bottle of water on a line, you take away polling places, that is a national disgrace.
President Joe Biden, I wonder what you make of this, Alan, preparing to formally acknowledge that the systematic killing and deportation of hundreds of thousands of Armenians by the Ottoman Empire in modern-day Turkey more than a century ago was genocide. The move is something he pledged to do as a candidate. It could further complicate an already tense relationship, says the AP, with Turkish leader Erdogan. One official says Biden could still change his mind. Lawmakers and Armenian-American activists are lobbying Biden to make the announcement on or before Armenian Genocide Remembrance Day, which will be marked this Saturday.
David, here's the problem. Politically, we face this reaction from Turkey. But in fact, it was genocide. So can we say that there was a Holocaust? Would we offend the Germans? We haven't cared about that. You know, this happened. It is disgraceful. We're not going back. But the Turks have said right from the very beginning, you can't talk about this and you won't put this on us. Well, it ought to be done because the Armenian community really was subjected to this terrible series of killings and aggregation of Armenians just because they were Armenian. As a Jewish person, I care deeply about what we think about what happened in the Holocaust. The Armenian community feels the same way, and I don't blame them.
Well, D.C. statehood faces a crossroads with congressional vote. The House expected to vote today on the legislation that would create the new state of Washington, Douglas Commonwealth, with a representative and two senators. It's expected to easily pass the House. It's the Senate where the real fight is. Does it happen, finally?
I have no idea. It should happen. Why should people be deprived of the vote? You have millions of people. They should get the vote. It's that simple. Why? Because they live in the nation's capital? Tough. You know, to me, it makes sense. Now, in the past, when we have admitted states, it's always been Alaska and Hawaii, one Republican state, one Democratic state, and so there's a deal worked out. In this case, it won't take much to say no. And, you know, at least the attempt is being made to say, hey, everybody should get a vote.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us. Thanks, Alan.